Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at theopenhouse.net.au blog site.
Well, in this series that we've been doing, Managing Life in the Tough Times, we have talked about all those things that are close to home, our jobs, our business, our mortgage, our debts. Now, it's time to look outward. It's time to remember the importance of staying generous during the tough times. How do we not kind of fall into this kind of bunker mentality that says, well, jobs are going, I'm just going to hoard everything that I've got and I'm just going to be kind of protecting my little boundaries. Matt Bell is a personal finance writer, speaker, author of a book called Money, Purpose, Joy. Generosity is his passion. He's with us now. Matt, welcome to Open House.
Sheridan, it's great to be with you.
You've got a really interesting background. You started off in radio journalism. So how did you move from that to then talking about things like finance and generosity?
Yeah, it basically came about through a financial train wreck. In my early 20s, I inherited some money, about $60,000, and it was from an uncle who passed away. And in 2 years' time, after using the money for what I thought were good purposes of trying to create my dream job, I found myself with $20,000 of debt. And so having transformed such an unexpected, seemingly once-in-a-lifetime gift into such a difficult place, it was a very humbling time of my life. And that was the time when I ultimately went on kind of a spiritual quest and asked some of the bigger questions of life that ultimately led me to become a Christian. And it also woke me up to my undeniable need to learn about money. So that's a topic I've been studying ever since.
That was kind of a bit obvious, isn't it? I think there's a lot of us have been in that situation, though. You know, you're not alone in the sense that it might have been some sort of gift like that, or we just haven't managed our money well when it comes to our income or things like that. And interesting that yours was woven in with a spiritual journey too. And so then, I guess what you have now learnt is not only, I would imagine, fashioned out of your reading in finance, but also your reading of scripture and your exploring what God might have to say about money too.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I thought they were two very separate journeys, this spiritual journey that I was on and this financial journey that I was on. And I came to see fairly early in that journey that those two journeys were tightly intertwined. I began to see just how our spiritual perspectives, or my spiritual perspective, guided my use of money. And after I became a Christian, I was amazed at how much the Bible says about money. There are something like 2,300 verses of scripture throughout the Bible that talk about either money or material things. And so I think it was clear that God knew we would need some help in this area.
Yes, absolutely. Now, after you went through this little spiritual journey and had your financial train wreck, as you called it, and started thinking about finance, you, I understand, did a thesis on American consumer culture. And I'd love to know what were the big kind of results of your research, because I think all of our countries, particularly, you know, US, UK, and then Australia, walk along similar paths in this regard. What did you find from your research?
Yeah, I found, I think one of the biggest ahas for me was that the way things are today that so many of us take for granted in our culture are not how they always were. For example, even the term consumer, if you look that up, it's actually fairly negative. To consume is to use up and squander and waste. And at least in the U.S., the term consumer didn't become a popular term until about the early 1920s. And that's kind of at the back end of the Industrial Revolution here in the States, where people went from agriculture to the city to working in factories, and mass production came into being. And people were really business people needed for the rest of us to become consumers, people that used things up and kind of wasted things and squandered things. And so it just become woven into the fabric of our culture that's who we are.
Now, how does that woven into the fabric of our lives then? Describe the consumer lifestyle that has, I guess, resulted from that.
Yeah, I think the consumer lifestyle is one that's focused on us. You know, if I'm a consumer, I believe that life is all about me. And if I'm a consumer, I believe that happiness is found in money and things, and the more the better. And if I'm a consumer, I believe that I'm in competition, that I'm in competition with the next person to have newer and better stuff than they have. And I'm in competition even with myself in my standing today, that I need to always have more and more. And yet what I find, I mean, if you look around, you see that people are no happier. I mean, in the United States, for 30-some years of the tracking of human happiness, the needle hasn't really budged, even though our homes have grown larger, our TVs have grown larger. Clearly now we're in such a financial difficulty that people are losing their homes through foreclosure, and savings has been historically very low. And so you see that this whole consumer mindset is really just not working.
I think the figures for Australia are that since the 1950s, the average house has doubled in size. We've got more bedrooms. We've got a triple garage for our cars. We've got a TV in every bedroom. And yet the average Australian family has reduced by a third. So we've got more bedrooms, more TVs, more cars, and less people living in them, watching them, and driving them.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And here in the States, one of the oddest statistics, I think, is the fact that there are more registered vehicles on the road than there are licensed drivers.
Oh, okay, yeah. Okay, so we've got a car for Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and a car for Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
That's right.
Yeah, and probably a golf buggy for Sunday. This is Open House right across the nation. Matt Bell is with us. We're continuing our series on managing life in the tough times. We've looked at the personal things. How do we recession-proof our jobs and overcome debt and stuff like that? Now it's time to turn around and say, how can we stay generous in the tough times? So we've painted a picture of the consumer lifestyle. I think all of us have got to say we've kind of bought into that to some degree. Let's talk about the alternative, particularly the alternative in light of a recession that is certainly hitting your country. It's very, very close, if not has not already affected our country and other countries around the world, the Western countries. What is the alternative when it comes to our approach to money?
Yeah, well, I think that what's been fascinating for me in my own personal journey is to see the contrast in what the Bible says about money and our financial priorities. You know, to be a consumer is to build lifestyle first and to save second, and giving might come in there somewhere third probably. But really, the Bible teaches us to be generous with the first portion, to save at the second portion, and then to build our lifestyles. It's a pretty simple model, but it's a very different model than the one that most of us have practiced historically. Mm-hmm. And it's the one that I think would work so much more effectively on just a very practical level if we would follow that. Be generous first, save a portion second, and then decide how much house we can live in and how many cars we can own.
Okay, so let's just clarify that. The typical model is spend first, save second, give last, and what right. You're suggesting the Bible is saying is give first, save second, spend on ourselves last.
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, the generosity piece, some people, I think, misunderstand that God is demanding something from us and that it's a duty and an obligation and a burden. But really what I find, I mean, even in secular research, it's pretty fascinating, the social scientists today that have studied what is it that creates a sense of meaning and purpose and joy in our life, and they found that it's the most generous people that are the happiest. And so I really think that God had us in mind, that he designed us to be generous. You know, the Bible says that we were made in God's image, and he's infinitely generous. I mean, he gave us our lives. He gave us his son. He gave us everything that we have. And so if that's true, that we're designed in his image, then generosity is just part of our design.
I'm glad you've raised that. I think that's a really important point, in the sense that if we are made in God's image, we will flourish and live best if we live like he lives. And
yes,
therefore, if we actually become bunker people, we don't give out anymore, we don't give anymore, we actually reduce our own humanity. We actually reduce ourselves, and we become something less than what we're actually called to be.
Yeah, I think that's right. And I mean, some of the most moving stories I can think of are the stories of people being very other-centered, being very focused on other people. I just heard a story recently of somebody who, at his place of work, that they were going to go through layoffs because sales were down and so many companies are laying people off. And a group of workers kind of banded together, and they decided nobody's going to lose their job. We are going to go to management, and we're going to tell them that we are all willing to take a reduction in pay in order to save everybody's job. And I just think those are the stories, those sacrificial stories, those stories of generosity that are really the most moving stories.
Yes. We have had recently the worst natural disaster in our nation, the fires that ripped through Victoria. Mm. Australians turned around and were so incredibly generous. Millions upon millions and millions of dollars just given through official channels like the Red Cross. The Salvation Army collected tens and tens of millions on top of that. We were just wonderful, wonderful outpourings of generosity. I was talking to somebody recently who works in a not-for-profit sector group, and he was saying, you know what, that's wonderful. Now the rest of us are going to suffer for the next 3 to 4 months, in the sense that the giving for other purposes is probably going to suffer as a result of that. Now, the money had to go to these areas, so there's no question about that. Give us some practical tips, though, some practical points, because there are people listening and saying, look, you know, I've got a family to feed. I'm not too sure if my job's going to stick around. All this is wonderful in theory. How do I remain generous in these tough times?
Right. Yeah, I mean, it's a journey. And I think that if for someone who's perhaps not in the habit of giving or perhaps not giving at a very significant level, I think it's a journey. We grow in it. And so it's a matter of taking the next step. And I think that if people wipe the slate clean and they said, all right, in a perfect situation, what would it look like if I gave the first portion? And the biblical historical benchmark tends to be the tithe, which is defined as 10% of one's income. Some people listening may say, that sounds crazy. That sounds completely unrealistic. You know, it's not to be legalistic about it, but it's to say, start somewhere and start based on a percentage of income and then grow over time. And so what would it look like if you gave 5% or 10% of your income and then saved at the same level, saved 10% of your income? What would that look like? Just put that down on paper. And again, you may not get there overnight, but start taking steps. And so one practical step, if somebody does get a raise, and so many people are losing their jobs today, but if you do, or if you are in a position where you're blessed to receive an increase in pay, decide now that the next increase in pay that I receive, a portion of that is going to be devoted to growing the percentage of my overall income that I give away each year.
Okay, so 10% giving, 10% saving, and then you've still got 80% to live on. But what you're saying is that if you get a little bit extra, well, kind of invest that to earn more.
Right. And if you think about that, I mean, in a typical work week of 40 hours, if you gave 10% of your income, that basically means working half a day on Monday for generosity to live this other-centered life that we're called to live and to build into some of the causes that are on your heart that matter to you, that you want to pour into. And then if we're saving 10%, that means working the afternoon on Monday for saving for the future of my family and for other needs that I might have. And then you've got the next 4 days of the week to live on.
Yes, that's a good way to put it. And of course, for those of us who, you know, cherish the Bible's message, or those of us who are just simply interested in it, you know, God does talk about blessing us if we're faithful in this area. Now, we don't want to go down the whole, we give so that God will bless us, and, you know, again, it turns into a bit of a self-centered thing. But the fact is that that's the nature of the God that we have, is that he does actually say, look, I'm going to look after you. If you put my, you know, priorities first, I'm going to look after you. You're going to be okay.
Absolutely. You know, it's written throughout the pages of Scripture, and I think sometimes when I read the Bible, if I see a message that's just embedded throughout Scripture, that really catches my attention. And you're absolutely right, Sheridan. I mean, I can point to the book of Proverbs that says, one man gives freely, it gains even more. Another withholds unduly, but comes to poverty. Mm. I can look at the book of Malachi, the last book in the Old Testament, that it's the only place in Scripture where God ever says to test me, and it's in this area of generosity. He says, test me in this and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing you won't have room enough for it. Mm. And I could go on and quoting other Scriptures that are similar. You make an equally very important point, and that is that we are never to give in order to get. You know, it's been twisted into sort of a prosperity gospel these days that's become very popular, but that I don't believe that is the nature of God's teaching in his Bible. But it's that we give because we're designed to give. We give out of gratitude for all that God has given to us. But absolutely, there are blessings that come from living the generous life we were made to live.
Yes. Absolutely. Of course, the question we haven't asked yet is, okay, well, where do we give? Who do we give to? How do we determine which ones to give to? Some points on that from you?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there are certain causes in Scripture that we can point to where clearly God cares about certain purposes. I mean, he cares about spreading his word to people that don't know God, don't know the Bible, and so to give to the causes of spreading God's word is one of those purposes. Helping the poor, you can't miss God's heart for the poor. It's written throughout the pages of Scripture, so giving toward organizations that help the poor is a very God-glorifying way to give. And then the Bible also encourages us to support those who teach us God's word. And so giving to support our churches and where we're learning about God's word is also affirmed in Scripture.
Matt, great to talk to you. It's nice to talk to somebody who has reflected on the whole issue of money from a spiritual, from a biblical perspective, as well as from a financial perspective, you know, a wise financial base to think these things through, hasn't kind of fallen in one direction of saying, well, you know, we shouldn't have any money, or the other side saying, well, you know, give and God's going to make you a rich man and give you multiple mansions. Good,
right.
Good to talk to you, Matt.
Great to talk with you, Sheridan.
Yeah, good on you. That's Matt Bell. He's the author of Money, Purpose, Joy, personal finance writer and speaker. Generosity is his passion. You can tell that, can't you? We're continuing our Managing Life in the Tough Times series.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. To hear more from Open House, visit theopenhouse.net.au.